This is Veronica Entwistle, and who are you? Today, Radiance by Design focuses, this isn't the first week we've done this, but it focuses on identity, how we concoct our identity, how we protect our identity, how we defend our identity, how we really treasure it. But you know what? Is it really you? Is it really me? Where did it come from? Let's explore that today. Let's have a blast with that. Because there's a whole thing about if we, and you know, I've been very influenced lately by Aravinda. Some of you have heard his interviews. I really think he's a precious spirit and boosting a lot of us along on the path. And my own guidance is pretty darn good as well. Anyway, the way he was talking about, and I mentioned this before, that defense and resistance are great ways to stay out of enlightenment, to stay out of illumination. What is it we defend? We very often defend our identity. What is our identity? Now, that is a fascinating question. So Bless His Heart, he's really got me tumbling through some wonderful, wonderful growth pathways, and I want to have you join me on that, too. And I want you to call in today. So what we're going to do is start off with our wonderful sacred geometric meditation. Remember, we do that because it creates a sacred space in which you can be safe to explore what's going on with you, perhaps meet spirit guides, go into healing, learn lots about healing, even get some questions answered. But to me, it's a very, very sacred meditation space, so let's concoct it together and get into our little sacred space and then design the kinds of things that we want to design in our world. And then we're going to talk, last week I said we'll get in there and we'll work on our identity, and then I totally forgot. So at some point I would really like to go in there and talk to the healing team about our identity, what's going on with our identity, where we can find the real pulse of ourself and let the universe pump through us with the wisdom that Creator Spirit has for us. Seems like what I understand is that when we surrender, when we give up our controls, when we give up our defenses, all kinds of answers come through. The next step shows up, and so on. So we're using the words identity and resistance and defense today, but it's really simply this old surrendering style. I'm just breaking it down a little more interestingly, as if we're in Hollywood and this is our movie today. So join me now as we close our eyes and we create our sacred geometric workshop. Big breath. Another one. Yes, and I always call in the presence of our guides and angels, call in the presence of our higher selves and the beings of light, truth, consciousness, and love that work with us today. Now, above your head, perhaps 4 miles, see a golden ball, and below your spine, another golden ball. And let's drop a radiant filament of light from the upper golden ball through your spine into the lower golden ball. Now from the upper golden ball down about waist height and 20 feet out, drop a four-sided pyramid. Now all the lines of the pyramid are golden, radiant, radiant gold. And we drop the four-sided pyramid about waist height, 20 feet out, and then have a matching one upside down. Of course, it can't be 4 miles high. It's 40 feet high or low, and its point touches the lower golden ball, and its four points at its base touch the base points of our first pyramid. And now inside of our octahedron, which is an eight-sided structure you just created, a crystal ball. Create a crystal ball that nudges the inside edges of your octahedron. And check out the colors of your crystal ball. Oh boy. Mine are very, very iridescent, but there's all the different spectral hues floating through it. What's going on with yours? And inside of that, we're going to be in a star tetrahedron. It's like a three-dimensional Star of David. And in your star tetrahedron, I want you to spin, which is very like the Merkaba. I was asked about this the other day. And it's not the Merkaba, but it's very like it. And it does function in some of the same ways as the Merkaba. So I want you to spin and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin. And as you're spinning, see in front of you a beautiful crystalline grid. And on that grid, you're going to put all these different visions, little movies of what it is you want to be, what it is you'd like to create a project. And then our Galactic Healing Center, a little bit of political activity. Then we're going to come back into our star tetrahedron and meet each other. So whilst you're spinning and spinning and spinning, let's see the first image that you want to put up there. Remember, it's like a movie, but you're the stars. You want to feel. You want to use all your senses in this. I always see myself becoming more and more multidimensional, coming from the heart, coming intentionally from the heart, but also just growing and growing and expanding and being much more able to be multidimensional. What is it you'd like to be? And now let's move to the next one, which is a project that you want to create. It can be personal, it can be home and family, relationship, partnership, a house, or book, or a hospital, or a store, a car, whatever you want. And see the resources coming that help you create that. Resources are just coming, the people that it takes to bring it together. And there you are in the middle of it, enjoying it. And the resources keep flowing that keep it going. And people are enjoying it and using it, I think. I mean, it's something just for yourself. You don't want people to be using it, so you've got to adapt it. And oh, what a success and how fulfilling it is when you're creating from your heart. Good work. And wrap that in light so it can continue. And now let's call in the healing team and have them work around and have our healing center, the Galactic Healing Center, and place in the center a bed or a chair, healing bed or healing chair. And take a look at your team. Who are they? What do they look like? They're always beings of consciousness, truth, and light. Good work. Okay, now you get to lie on that table first, or you can sit on the chair, depending what you're doing. And when you're lying on the table, I'm going to lie on the table, so I'll say lying. When I'm lying on the table, I let them show me what kind of healing needs to go on. And I see and experience them moving the energy along the top of my body. A lot of interesting things going on. What's going on with you? Yes. And now I want you to ask them if they have any advice for you. Do they have any suggestions about how to improve your healing or how to help yourself along? Okay, thank you. You might even want to jot that down. And now wrap that scenario in light and let it complete itself however long it likes to take. Because it always, energy has its natural kind of its rate of change. And now we create another healing team and another healing table. It's the same team, but they can replicate themselves easily. Hey, we're going to learn to do that too. We kind of do it now, but we want to be conscious about it. So let's gather this healing team around. And then who's coming in? Who do you want to put on your table? And ask them if they want to come in. Some people reject the idea, don't they? I asked my friend to come in, and she said no. She wants her husband to come in, so that's fine with me. Mm-hmm. And then we ask for some help for whoever is your client. Okay, and ask them to show you what this person needs. You know, you can always tell them what you need if it's obvious. Okay. That's it. And if there's anything final that they can tell you that you need to, that you could do to help promote this person's healing, or that this person needs to learn that they can promote their own healing. And now let's wrap that in light, move that away. And now we'll do a third one. I always like to do three. And who comes in? See who pops in. Either somebody you choose or somebody just comes popping in. Okay. I have a real character here. I don't even think I know him. Okay. And then to see what they need. And the healing team that's replicated themselves again. My healing team seems to be drawing, almost like with a little vacuum, drawing something out of this being. He's come with a rather serious illness. He must be a listener or someone who knows what we're doing, because he's not somebody I know. But he has a very serious illness, and they're doing this incredible healing work with him. Yeah. And they're giving him a lot of advice. So. Uh-huh. Now let's wrap that in light and let it continue as long as it likes to continue. Now remember, you can do this with any number of people, but because we're on live global radio, we don't want to spend all our time on it. But thank you so much for that. Ask the healing team if there's anything that you could do to support this other being, or is there anything this being needs to learn. Okay, now the final one we always choose is political. So let's take a look at something you would like to see happen, or where you think we need to support political situations. So make a scenario. And the guides keep reminding us to send Obama a lot of light, because he's having some big struggles maintaining his own. I think he's always got integrity, but I'm not sure how much he can push through, given the machine that exists. So they always say, in the middle of a reading, they'll say to me, remember to tell your people to support Obama or send Obama. It's not a political thing. It's like send him light, because you want some of these changes to be made. It's very hard for him to maintain without as much support as possible. So let's pick out your favorite scenario, wrap it in light there, and ask the healing team to really help keep him or whoever it is you're wanting to lead some shift in the collective, or some political shift. Doesn't have to be Obama, but I'm going to send light to him. Yes, and ask if what we can do to help. That's interesting, because they're saying pay attention. Put your focus in and send your thoughts. When you have some concerns about Iran, for example, send your thoughts there and be really supportive there. There's a lot of magic going on. There's a lot of huge polarization problems and a lot of big shifts going on. So send your thoughts. Send your thoughts. Send them to Obama. Send them to various aspects of the administration. Mm-hmm. And send them to the machine that's running this whole administration, that it might kind of develop some wings. What do you think of that? And then let's send some, And the team is saying basically that there are a lot of beings working to transcend that which has been a polarity and very, very damaging in our collective for purposes of greed and so on. There's a lot of beings, so let's just send our light out there to join theirs and see if we can't raise the fields, raise the frequency, change the energy, change the reality. One of my favorite lines, right? And now let's finish this by taking a beautiful, bright pink, kind of a salmony radiant, absolutely radiant pink and sending it from your heart out to the administration and send it to Iraq, Afghanistan, Korea. Just send this huge, powerful light to these various hot spots on the planet and have that powerful light surge through these hot spots, lift and support and harmonize things for people. And now have that beautiful pink light of harmony, of expansion, of understanding, of love, sent all over the planet so that it's got this beautiful, beautiful pink light ocean all over it. And then when it goes all around the planet, have it roll back into your chest. Good. And now jump into your star tetrahedron again, and off you go, spinning and spinning. Aha! Thank heaven for Bob. So as we're spinning and spinning, we're going to take one step back into the Galactic Healing Center because we didn't do a thing with our identity. Let's pop into the Healing Center again. And the team doesn't mind showing up. Here's our healing team. They could be multi, they are interdimensional. And now let's take a look at our identity. What is your identity like? You can sit down or stand up or lie down, whichever you want. Take a look at your own identity. Who are you? Are you a mother, a father, a student, a rich person, a poor person, a left wing, right wing? Well-dressed, sloppy-dressed. You need to get some stuff about your identity. You're a writer, you're a reader, you're a scientist, you're unemployed, you're a risk-taker. Yeah, just take a look at that. Yeah, I want you to really see and feel your identity. That makes me laugh for myself. We'll talk about that after. And a beautiful bird just flew by. We're up in the northwest, a bright, bright yellow and orange bird. I couldn't believe it. In any case, let's go talk about identity. He's got great fancy duds, doesn't he? So now when you're pulling up your identity, ask the team if they can tell you something about your identity that maybe limits you. Let's just take a look at that. Ask them to tell you something about your identity that could limit you. Or something else if that's not what you want. All right, so now wrap that whole scenario in light, and what we're asking for is that the information and the illumination about our identity continue. So let's wrap it in light and send it forward. And now we get to do the wild ride in the star tetrahedron. In you go. Jump, spin. Thanks, Bob, for bringing us back to our agenda here. That's it. Spin and spin and spin. Spin and spin. Can you feel the energies coming off you when you spin? And then come back into the room with me. All right, now I'd love you to call in. What we'd like to talk about today is your identity and your questions. What's going on in your life? How much attachment do you have to your identity? What are you doing to defend it? What are you resisting because of your identity? And where did it come from? How did you concoct this very identity? Where are you desperate with it? I gotta look this way or that. And you can call in about any question, as you know. So here's the number, 888-810-8322, 888-810-8322. Love to talk to you about it. Now, the whole thing about what is it we're defending, so you meet somebody, we just saw the movie, the Proposal. It was just a hoot. And I was just, when I said, what are we defending, I was just thinking about the beginning of that movie where Sandra Bullock plays a very successful young corporate woman who is awful. She's the B word, I guess I have to say. And that when I said, what are we defending, I'm looking at her. What she is magnificently dressed, and she's actually quite fierce. so that they have all these ways of saying when she's walking through the office. For those of you who haven't seen it, I really recommend you see it. It's really funny. But also there's some great character portrayals there. So what is it she's defending? When somebody is really mean and really, dominant and crisp and highly successful, what are they defending? We could probably guess that she's defending her, not just her position, but her need for success is to make herself safe, to actually climb above all of the insecurities and so on that she has. It's really fascinating, isn't it? And, you know, she wears all the right clothes for it and so on, and everybody is scared stiff of her. It turns out she's pretty vulnerable, but it's really interesting to see how she concocted this identity in order to be successful and at work, because she used a lot of fear tactics. So let me just take a look. There's people out there who, you know, we see it in our little kids that they've already formed a kind of an identity, that some kids look like they're really, really going to be needy, or they're whiny, they're people pleasers, that's forming an identity that makes it safe for them. It's kind of interesting. It's not really what they are necessarily. My guides were saying earlier that even situations like astrological, I just had a wonderful reading with a woman named Patrice. I think her last name is Caymans or something. She was a very, very wonderful reading with her. But in any case, we were talking astrology, and I believe that the saint has no chart. So if we work hard enough on ourselves, we don't need this kind of map of hurdles that are out there that block us and so on. But it's so interesting, because there is a map of hurdles. Very often it helps us describe who we are. So once again, we adhere to the identity that it reflects back to us. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? So I was doing some channeling before this show, and the guides were saying that we're going to get to the point where we would, or it's very, very possible these days, where when we recognize points of identity, we recognize how we have taken on, for example, an astrological designation, we can be super conscious about that, and from that point of connection or point of recognition, we can move beyond that and be released from that particular identity. And they said that it was going faster and faster these days because the energies are moving faster and faster. We can actually slip out of the cloaking that we've used by having ourselves, like, very often compared to the collective or compared to the fashionable way of being. Meaning we concoct an identity that will work to help us get our way or to help protect us in the collective, haven't we? But because the energies are moving very, very fast, and let's see, how is it they explain this? Okay, so the energies are moving very, very fast these days, and that the collective has the opportunity to meet with the shift, which is a great potential shift to bring, as we hear it, as heaven on earth. It may not be overnight, but it's a potential, right? And that there are certain people who's in their consciousness are learning to reflect back to the greater, that we can move out of what seems like history always repeats itself, or it's dog eat dog, or we can really dominate each other. All of that stuff, which has been run from the subconscious on a fear-based identity thing, saying if I don't push hard to get, then you might get it all, and where am I going to be? So they're saying that there's this movement in the collective. The energies are moving up faster and faster. And some people, and there really aren't that many, and there doesn't have to be that many, but some people are able to move the energies. Now, I call it the energies. It's the vibrations that form the way their identity and defending their identity has gone in such a way as to finally vibrationally lead the way or spearhead the way into having a almost a monk-like or a zen-like no reaction kind of way of being, releasing identity. And actually it's having a huge impact on the collective, so that we have the ability to in many ways individuate and bring creativity to a much higher level to a level of win-win or individuation on a much greater mass level. It's like establishing a fashion or establishing a, establishing a kind of a convention that says it's just wonderful if we're all just ourselves, if we're all these divine beings who, I don't believe we're totally divine. I believe that we have divinity within us. So the idea is if you doff aspects of your identity, you can allow that universal flow to come through and divinity to express itself through you. And all kinds of answers come. All kinds of situations become a lot more magically resolved. And not only that, that's a kind of a contagion. That becomes a fashion that's moving the collective to a much higher base level. It's a very exciting time for us to live, but it's not necessarily easy, because one of the things we're doing today is working on identity. But one of the interesting things about that is how many people you know, how many people do you know that are actually questioning their identity and trying to release it, or at least let it surrender it so that they can pulse through and become at a higher level driven by consciousness. And another interesting thing is I keep hearing about or reading about how consciousness moves way faster than the speed of light. So then we're talking about how the collective, the energies are moving faster and faster. And I'm going, yeah, and what we're trying to do is get conscious of the fact that we have divinity flowing through us and not be adhering so much to the identity that we defend so mercilessly against the marauding of everybody else. Does that make sense? Anyway, call in, everybody. Otherwise, I'm going to be talking for hours on end here. I'd love you to call in. And otherwise, what I'm going to do is start reading people and your identity out there. Because I see people who have, for example, a really deep belief in their own failure. And I can see, I can see three people at once. Hey, my thoughts are bilocating like our team are replicating themselves. I'm seeing three different people, okay, all at once. And one is a very dejected woman who has done nothing but raise children. And some of that hasn't been so successful. She doesn't have a lot of money now. And there's a deep feeling of not only loss in her, but like she's been such a failure. And of course, the people around her don't respond really, they don't respond heartily to her because she's kind of dangerously without and people don't want to get involved in that, do they? So that's a kind of an identity crisis right there. I'll finish the other two. One of them is a man who's got a really bad back and he used to be quite a, the three people that I've got here are what you might call losers, meaning they had been in situations and they've all lost their position. Okay, so I look at this man, and he's got a really bad back, and he's quite a refined soul. He's well-dressed and so on, but he no longer has a position. I just want to sort of squint my eyes at him because he could be very well able to write and create, but he's kind of lost heart in himself because to him, his identity has been broken by experience, and he's lost the case or he's lost his journey. Then I see another woman who has a body that's kind of, she's limping quite a bit. So there's two of them that I'm seeing now that have body problems. But she's got a really interesting, so she might be our success person here. She has a really interesting inner spirit that she's got a misshapen body and she's not really able to look like the fashions or any of those things. But you know what? Inside she feels extremely triumphant. She feels like she's a real case to be discussed. She's somebody that needs to be honored and praised for all that she's done. Isn't that interesting? So she considers herself kind of a hero in her own legend, identity. Now she's going to be feeling a whole lot better than the other two. So I want to say, for the third woman, I want to say I really, really am excited for you, because even though she's probably in her late 20s, I think, she's going to actually help and teach a lot of people. But also she has that pulse in her, that trust spirit, trust divine guidance, and is really moving her through some big changes. So I see her down the road becoming quite a teacher. But if she had bought into the superficial parts of her, you know, her body and how it's misshapen and how she didn't fit into the status quo and all that, if she buys into that, which she's not going to do, she wouldn't do the kinds of things. If her identity was wanting to be like the rest and she couldn't make it, she would buy into being a failure. I'm glad you called in, but I want to just finish this one other thing. Is our friends, the woman with all the children, who feels like she's just nobody, that she spent her life raising children and feels like nobody. And the fellow who's older, he could be a really good writer and gift the world, but no, he believes that he's a failure. Those two, the recommendation would be to start looking at the identity and ask yourself questions like, how did I create this? Why did I create that identity? Where did it come from? Some of it is genetic, some of it is childhood training and so on. But if you can look at your own identity and really see what you've taken on, then you can actually change it. And that's what we're on about. Welcome. You're on the air, and I'm glad you called in.
Hi.
Hi, Ted.
good to talk to you again. It's been a little while. Yeah, so identity, yeah, that's a interesting one. I think I'm making some changes that way. The teaching thing hasn't been working particularly well, and I don't see any progress that way. So I've been moving towards the investment thing, and that hasn't been working terribly well, but I've been okay. I mean, things have been all right financially, but I just feel like, well, I have to get the finances kind of going before I work on other aspects. So one of the things I've been working on with that is developing my intuition, especially in the area of commodities, but, you know, just in general. And I have books on that. So it's you had given me a reading before, and you said, oh, yeah, you could skip around, and it's sort of like hopping on stones and stuff. Well, I don't know. It hasn't worked terribly well. I haven't lost my shirt either. But at any rate, it's a shift in identity. You know, I just was saw myself as going towards the teaching thing, and I don't think that's going to happen. And that's really for the best. So, yeah.
You don't like the teaching, or is it just not working financially?
It's not particularly working. And it hasn't, there just hasn't been a fit for me. I had a stint in algebra there, and just, I don't know, it just didn't work terribly well. It's not like I was a failure or anything. It's just, it's just not me, you know, and that's part of the identity.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, isn't it? We start playing with it like that. Do you do any surrenders? You have a tension around what's you, you know? There's a fear about what's you. What is that?
Yeah, well, I'm afraid of screwing up, I think, partly. It seems like I make way too many little mistakes, forget things, I don't know. And I guess that's, you know, it's almost been there so long, it's part of my identity. I would guess that that's what might be going on there.
Yeah, because, you know, what's interesting, when I look at you, I go, well, you know what, Ted, you need to do, we were talking about surrendering and letting the divine pulse through, and I know that you do a strong breathing technique.
I do, yeah.
Okay. There's something around that which is really healing for you, but also to do a surrender is really important because you have a tension in your body, in your whole frame. It's a real tension against not being right or not being able to be right and so on and so forth. You have lots of skills and talents, but if you're really tense about being right, it's going to mess up your memory. Almost like you could trip over yourself, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because I think that working with your intuition is probably one of the best things that you can do. but there's still this tension in your body-mind. And so remember, and this is for everybody at home, when we're defending our identity, this is a kind of a double blind, isn't it? The identity we concoct isn't really who we are, and we're defending it to the hilt because we don't think there's anything else.
Okay.
So I want everybody at home to wrap yourself in light. While Ted is here, wrap yourself in light as well, Ted, and then ask to feel all the defense you can. Let's feel how we defend our identity. And it's in order to be okay in the world. Maybe I should ask you why you would defend your identity. What do you come up with?
Well, it's almost a new identity, just thinking about it as sort of a investor and sort of watching the charts and doing all things. It is kind of that, defensive about that. I don't feel competent in that yet. But do I feel defensive? I don't know.
But if you ask yourself for a defense, what would it be? Ask to feel any defense in your body mind.
What do I do? Defense.
Just call them up and feel them. The thing is, we're all. When I really get with this, Ted, I feel like I have a bazillion of them. And that makes me laugh. I go, wow. Because we're probably always holding ourselves in some position or another, aren't we?
Yeah.
I mean, check your muscles. Check the way you're holding them. Are you a good person? Are you holding yourself in the right way? Are you walking the right way? Are you, are you projecting the right kind of information about yourself? Any defenses in that? You don't have to do it all on the air. You can do it. But it's a very interesting subject, actually, because it seems like you're going to come up with, I think, and if I were to be a psychic, I'd say you're going to come up with something kind of different than both things you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to just come through you.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, and I think it should be soon, but one of the things you're doing is controlling yourself because there's a fear in you that you're not okay or you're not going to do things right.
Yeah.
That fear kind of blocks the flow, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. That's definitely there.
So we're asking to call up the fear and deal with it and command total release and then take an aspirin. No, I'm teasing. Call me next week, let me know how it goes. Because I feel like you could do a lot of healing work, intuitive work, and helping people in counseling. There's a lot of things like that that you would be naturally very good at.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. I just don't see how it makes bucks, that's all.
Yeah, I know what you mean. If you have time, listen to the show at 5 o'clock. I have a wonderful couple, Judith and Jim, and they've written a book called The Heart of Marketing. And they went from being therapists into marketing stuff on the Internet. And they did it with consciousness, and it's really very uplifting to hear their approach. So
I'll definitely listen, yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. But anyway, I'm looking at you going, I think you're going to shift entirely, but I feel like it's so crucial that you release yourself from this tension, or we'll call it a defense because that's my subject, right? And I have to be right today,
okay.
So that's part of my defense.
Anyway,
thank you for your call, Ted.
Okay, thank you, Veronica.
Bye-bye. Bye. So, world right now, it's very interesting to see Ted's because he's got a lot of vibrational tension in his body-mind. Now we'll see if you do too because you're on the air.
Hi, Veronica.
Hi.
This is Tanya calling from Hope.
Hi, Tanya. Is
How
there hope
you?
In hope?
Pardon me?
Is there hope in hope?
There's lots of hope in hope.
Good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, thank you. The sun is shining and I went for a nice walk out in nature.
Good girl. So what do you have to talk about today?
I went to a sweat lodge for the first time about a week and a half ago.
Good.
And I'm wondering if my guides have any feedback on that, because I'm not so sure that I should be going back maybe to that particular one.
Did you pick up some other people's energy there? You did, didn't you?
When I close my eyes, it's really hard to see my light body now, and I used to be able to see it instantly.
I feel like you got, I don't know why we're getting echoes here, do you? It's them? Okay, what I feel like is you just like took on a whole bunch of darker frequencies there. Because everybody's clearing their energies, right?
Right.
Okay, so I think one of the hardest things, they talk about defense and releasing defenses, and yet one of the hardest things in the world is when we're taken over by somebody else's feelings.
Yeah.
So let's do some energy. I'm asking for some help here from our guides and angels, yours too, and our higher selves. Everybody at home, wrap yourself in light. And then we're going to ask for a big light gargle or a light wash to move up through the soles of your feet. And have, I think this can work for everyone, but we'll see. And we're going to have a wonderful bright light move up through the soles of your feet and swish you out all the way up through your body. And tell me when it gets up to the top of your head.
At the top.
Okay, good. Now we're going to pop it out the top of your head. And now we're going to roll it round and round and round your body. And it's bright, 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 whatever color you want. But I'm doing kind of yellow and white light.
Okay.
And we're running it round and round your body. And it's a part of, I'm laughing because your guides are popping around looking like they're having fun with all this.
They're probably a little bit mischievous like me then.
They
That's
really
where I probably
are.
Get it from.
That's what I always say.
It's all
think.
Good, though. It's all good fun.
You can't put your best hat on, your Sunday best on, to appease your guides because they already know what Dickens's we are.
Right? Yeah.
So what we want you to do is just clear it. And then I also think that you need to, do you have baths instead of showers? You need to have a bath.
Okay, yeah, with the Epsom salts.
Yeah, Epsom salts. Somebody told my daughter you got to use like a pound of it, so I don't know.
Wow, yeah. I do use quite a bit.
Because I think you already look a little. Do you feel any different right now?
Yeah, I feel a little bit lighter.
Okay, check your light body. Can you see it yet?
Not like I used to. No.
Okay.
It's like I have to really really concentrate hard, and before it used to be instant.
Okay. Yeah, because you got clogged, honey. That's
okay.
The thing. When we're clearing defenses.
It's 444 right now.
Oh, good. I love that. When we're clearing defenses, right?
Yeah.
Then I'm saying, okay, there you are in a sweat, and you're being vulnerable. And so what are we going to do about that? So I'm saying to you, you need to have your angels come in there,
yeah.
And you need to really, really ream yourself of other people's energy. You have to keep that up as a process all the time.
Okay.
I think you went with a lot of people that were kind of down in the dumps, did you?
Mm-hmm. Is this maybe not a good thing for me to do, or I just need to learn how to better protect myself?
Better protect yourself, but I wouldn't go there for a while.
Okay.
And
that's what I was thinking, because this has never happened before, because normally I can close my eyes and it's an instant and it's bright, and now it's like I really have to concentrate hard to get it.
When you took on somebody, were there like 10 or 12 people there?
There was, let's see, 6 of us.
Well, somebody, I'm getting a bellyache from somebody who was there. That's just evidence to me that there's something really dark.
Yeah.
Now, it's not nasty. It's just somebody had a very deep pain and depression.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You sucked it in. Look, it's right in your navel area.
Okay.
All right. So then, and I won't spend too much longer with you,
yeah.
But I would say don't panic.
Yeah.
But I would say that you need to find a better way to clear yourself up.
Okay.
And protect yourself. You can use the star tetrahedron as well. You can jump into that and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin and clear it off, you know.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
So let me know what happens.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Veronica.
Thanks for your call, honey.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Now, that was a really good call because I'm saying, you know, clear your defenses. And then she goes, well, golly, I just got slimed. She didn't really get slimed. It's just that the heavier stuff coming off of people, and people are moving their energies really fast these days. When you're clearing and you're clearing and you're clearing, and then deep down in your subconscious, you've still got some remnants of deep life-threatening experiences and so on, you're going to magnetize some of those feelings from other people. And I don't think Tanya's going to have any problem actually recovering her facility for seeing. On the contrary, she's probably going to clear, as she clears it or as it clears, she's going to pop open yet further into her intuitive knowing. So it's not like a lost thing, but you can see how the collective works. We're out there like tent caterpillars, and we're living in each other's reams of energy fields, and we can take them on. And when you're really wanting to clear yourself up and individuate, you have to be absolutely assiduous. You have to be very, very strong and very fierce about clearing your energy all the time. You know, it's really interesting. Clearing energy of little kids is really important. You absolutely love your children. But if you go to a primary school, it's amazing how bizarre the energies get with all the kids and how kids are so empathic, and they're running everybody's energy through their bodies and so, all the time. And then, so one of the hard things for us to remember is take the people you love, that you adore, that you cherish, and clear the energy from them every day. Because if you want to individuate and you want them to individuate, we want to unhook the way we breathe each other's energy in. And Tanya took on somebody's energy that was very deep and dark. And I'm an empath, and I've said that before. I know you've heard that. But I could feel it in my belly area. It really hurt. And that's not her. Excuse me about that. It's not her. It's what she absorbed at the time because, again, she had some of that old energy from her subconscious that linked with the one in that, you know, you just, it's really, really necessary to learn to clear all the time. The guides say it's like 95% of the job if you want to advance and evolve. You know, I'm going to talk about my next show, which is going to be Judith and Jim. They have Judith Shervin and Jim Snikowski, I think that's how you say it. They've written a book called The Heart of Marketing, Love Your Customers and They Will Love You Back. And they are the innovators of soft sell marketing. Soft sell marketing is kind of interesting. I don't want this show to be an infomercial. You know what an infomercial is? Everybody talks about their product over and over again until you get so excited and you buy it. They're talking about soft sell marketing on the internet, and they're talking about putting the heart into selling and buying, because they're talking about it being kind of an energy exchange out there in the collective, that learning to do soft sell marketing is learning to get into compassion, empathy, understanding, and the desire to actually uplift other people with your product. And it's going to be a really interesting talk. These people used to be therapists, and after 17 years of therapy, they moved into the marketing world, fell flat on their faces, and had to learn, because they didn't want to play the game of greed and got. So they're really very, very interesting. And they, you know, it's a really important thing to talk in terms of identity and defense and all of that, to be talking about commerce and how we go out into the world and do business and so on. And because if your whole drive is to be a successful business person, and that means you can knock over anybody you can because you're there first, that isn't where we're trying to head as we evolve. So their conversation is really, really whole. It'll all be about whole and living in this new paradigm. So, and also on Thursday night, I'm going to be working with Jackie Salvitti and the team, and we're talking about growth and expansion and extra powers. One of the things a lot of us are learning is to have extra powers. And the team is Jackie's team is so amazing. Jackie herself is no slouch either. She really does a lot of wonderful healing work. But the team comes through in that show, and I absolutely adore it. They really take us by the top knot and take us through tremendous releasing and moving beyond what the status quo would be. And next week, I'm going to have a wonderful woman on named Rowena Kreider, and she's an artist, a shamanic character. Her work is quite stunning. She's written a number of books. She's well up in her 70s, and she does all her own layout and publishing her own books and doing amazing multidimensional artwork. And that drops me back into our discussion today, talking about multidimensional, is that if you want, you can take a look at your identity, okay? We'll take a look at our identity, say, as it is presented in an astrological chart. Okay, I'm a Gemini. What does that mean? And you're a Cancer. What does that mean? And that means you can't let go. Or mine means that I'm, what does it mean? I'm silly or childish or whatever it is that we're supposed to be. Anyway, we can get hold of those labels, which are a part of our identity, get hold of those with our mind and our hearts, and we can literally transform the energy of those. We can rise above that kind of labeling in order to be, individuated in a consciousness way. And when you're having a clash or a transit that's an energetic transit, two charts, you say you and your partner, say my partner and I are having an issue, let's make it up, a power issue or a control issue or something that's pretty traditional with people. We have the ability, especially these days with the fast-moving frequencies, to enter that awareness together, absolutely enter that awareness, different than being in the sweat, where this awareness wasn't the prime thing, you know what I mean? Like maybe if people have thought about it. But anyway, so say Bob and I have an issue. We'll just say it's a power issue, okay? And we both together have an awareness that that's what's happening astrologically, okay? Instead of it having to play itself out at the normal energy rate that we used to experience, we have the ability to be together and actually consciously move the energy of that, so we're no longer blocking each other, challenging each other, or anything. We can consciously rise above what could be identified as our journey right now. You follow me? It's really possible, ladies and gentlemen, for us to move way past a lot of our consciousness limitations. Remember, consciousness moves faster than light, and I'm an energy person, and to me, energy, when we're aware of how to move it, change the energy, change the reality. So if you're looking at your identity and you're feeling a bit cornered by it, corralled by it, limited by it, and so on, you have the ability to drop in and do, you know, it's always handy to do something like a rapid breathing exercise, do some pranayama or some healing technique which is forceful, like even just a dance workout, if you will, and that shakes up your frequencies, opens up your sensors, and then you move the energy beyond what is a limiting force, like, I'm a failure. No, you're not necessarily a failure. You had an experience with a specific result, but that isn't who you are. Who you are can be divinely guided if you let yourself surrender and you allow that love to come through. Another thing Aravinda said, it's you want to bring divinity through. Remember, divinity comes from using will and awareness simultaneously. So I'm saying surrender, but then I just remember hearing him say using will and awareness at the same time. I love that too, so there's another way to do it. So how's your identity? If any of you'd like a session with me, an intuitive session, I love to do my work. Email me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com, that's ENTWISTLE. Or if you'd like to have feedback about the show, throw in a question or a suggestion about the show, either show actually, a suggestion of a gift, guest or whatever, email me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. I love to hear from you. So I will say goodbye and call in tremendous universal love, which is there for all of us. And let's just call it in and send it to one another. And I'll be back at the top of the hour with these wonderful people, Judith and Jim, with the Heart of Marketing. Much love to all of you. Thank you so much for listening.